Chair Wiseman.
Here.
Director Dodson. Director Sweeney.
Here.
Chair Wolf. Chair, we have a quorum.
Very good. So first of all, we want to create an opportunity here for public comment. If there's anyone that would like to address the committee, this would be the time. You're more than welcome. Is there anyone interested in making comments today? If not, then we'll proceed with the agenda. And the next item would be approval of the minutes of our last Strategic Planning Committee meeting that was held on June 19, 2013.
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Minutes are adopted. And at this point, we would ask our Executive Director to address anything that you'd like to ask.
Oh, well, thank you. I think I'm just going to turn it over, if that's acceptable. We've got our, we thought we'd do today is talk a little bit about, you know, some corridor updates. Rocco and his team are here. I'm going to let him introduce, I think, the newest member of the team. But some corridor updates, and then we thought we'd have a little bit more, hopefully, robust conversation, because we do have on the 53-120 project the finance committee that's being established, and we wanted to make sure that we had gotten the board's direction on exactly what you're expecting from the finance committee for 53-120, or at least a framework of what we should be expecting there, so that we can, you know, make sure that they're aware of the expectations for any work product that they produce. So, Rocco.
All right. I will be quick on the updates. Yes, we'll do updates and really talk about the 53. That's what we really want to focus on today. On corridor council updates, there's a lot going on. You know, it's nice to put this together every however it is, because then you really realize how much it is that we're really doing out there. You know, really this year we're kicking off $6 billion worth of work, and there's a lot of effort to do that. And between the three major projects, I-90, Elgin O'Hare, and 294-57, there's a lot happening out on the grounds with the streets. We're talking to people. So we got a lot of stakeholder coordination that's been ongoing with the I-90 project. As you know, we've used to have corridor councils. We continue to meet with a lot of the local municipalities in various aspects. In the last meeting, we talked about interchanges in the intergovernmental agreements. We do have a lot of those that will be coming to you over the coming months for interchanges, aesthetics, some of bike and pedestrian access. So that, you know, is really a product of a lot of the outreach that we're doing right now. But the agreements will be for some cost share and maintenance aspects of these projects. PACE, give you some updates on what we're doing with PACE. You may or may not know, PACE started some new service on I-90 just this week to really start putting themselves in a position, you know, to better serve the patrons along I-90 during construction. And then it's really kind of starts moving it forward into to what could be come out there once our construction is done. So there's some new service that's starting. We're also working with PACE. As we've said before, they've got a CMAC grant for some park and ride facilities and transit amenities along the I-90 corridor. We're narrowing it down to three park and ride locations. We'll be working on an intergovernmental agreement with PACE also to start making some of these transit accommodations become reality too as part of our construction project. So there's a lot of outreach there. Nissim Jawa, we've talked about this in the past. We continue to coordinate with the communities and the Jawa on the line relocation, Jawa line relocation. So again, you'll see an intergovernmental agreement coming within the coming months. Legislative outreach, we've been talking to a lot of legislators. It's, you know, the greatest litmus test, I always say, is that, you know, if legislators aren't complaining about construction, then things are going well. So we've done a pretty good job of keeping them updated on what's happening out there. We are closing a lot of our I-90 bridges. Once we're closed this week, local crossroad bridges. So that was another big push on the outreach front. So that's pretty much on I-90. Any questions on anything else that we're doing on I-90 right now?
Michael, I just wanted, can you...
Sure.
I know we're trying to be provide more or less advanced PACE or bus type services on I-90. Mm-hmm. Could you describe what we look to be doing here?
So what PACE is doing, they're introducing some new service. If you recall, I don't know, several months ago, PACE staff and TJ Ross, their executive director, came out and talked about the new service that they're proposing out there. They've acquired some new buses to enhance some service and better access, more of a point-to-point service. and rearranging some of their existing routes to better serve the people along the I-90 corridor. So the areas of where we're looking at putting in park and ride facilities specifically within our projects would be I-90 at Barrington Road. It's an area that we're looking to do some enhancements, basically provide enhanced access from I-90 itself and the interchange and potential future interchange through there, more of a direct access park and ride facilities there. We are also looking just west of Barrington Road, new enhanced service and access into the Elgin area, two locations at Route 25, which really serves the more of the downtown area of Elgin. Route 25 along the Fox River, you can compare that to Aurora too, which is on the east side. So new park and ride facilities there, and then also a little further to the west at Randall Road. That's another area where there's a park and ride facility being planned. So PACE is restructuring some of their operations to better serve those areas, then also to better serve the more developed areas along the corridor of really Elk Grove, Rosemont. They provided some new circulator service from Rosemont Blue Line Station actually to the new mall and circulating around the entertainment complex at Rosemont. That was introduced when the mall opened up in Rosemont, looking at better service for Elk Grove and really in the Schaumburg area. So PACE is restructuring their vision and their accommodations to better fit the what's going to be happening on 990, higher speeds, enhanced access. So they're aligning themselves both from a capital standpoint, new buses, park and ride facilities, and then also operations too.
And if I recollect correctly, I think we used more or less some shoulder lane usage on 355. Are we going to see that on I-90 as well?
What we are planning on I-90 is basically it's a wider inside shoulder that would be there for a bus on shoulder service at some point in time when it's needed. Right now, I think what we are going to see is once we open up the lanes, which we've seen all over the place, you open up the lanes, everybody's moving at a free flow mm-hmm. speed. The vision there would be is if at some point in time in the future speeds start to slow down and break down, you would have a more of a dedicated transit service via the shoulder on I-90. So it's being planned, designed, and accommodated wider depth for that mid and long range.
Good.
For maybe a dedicated bus lane or for some shared use, right, that it could flex to automobile traffic as well in a mm-hmm. free flow condition,
mm-hmm.
or to be maintained in as free a flow condition as possible.
So the envelope is there, exactly.
Right.
Whatever is needed really gives us the most amount of flexibility. So construction design plans, we're moving in that direction. Elgin O'Hare, we've been doing a lot of open houses. It's really educating people on what's happening out in this project, and it's been very beneficial, I think, for the people along the corridor and for us internally as well to understand what the issues and concerns are. We've done open houses. I've been updating recent past meetings, but most recently we did an open house in Schaumburg, and we've got one coming up in Hanover Park on September 10th. All these hours, basically, we set up some boards and staff is there to answer any questions in each municipality. So we've been offering this up to municipalities. It's really worked to explain the project, the rollout, the benefits. I think the more you talk about it, the people realize there are true benefits that we reap from this project. We continue to meet with the Elgin O'Hare Local Advisory Committee.
May I just ask a question on the open houses? Are these, do you have a target on the number of people you're intending to hit through these, and or do you have media come?
It's the local set it up, so they really do the invites. We support it. We've had varying numbers. We've had some that have about 40 people. We've had Itasca's was maybe in the 200, 250,
oh, really?
Yes. So... So we kind of gauge what the numbers might be. It's it's a broadcast and mm-hmm. whoever it might be.
But it is the locals that are saying.
The local, we support it all, but they're the ones who say we'd like to do this.
Nice.
Sure, we'll get out there and figure it out. And it's really worked out well. So we go to each community to try to do this. Again, give them the information of what's happening and when it's going to happen. So the numbers vary. Media, sometimes. The story doesn't change from meeting to meeting.
Right.
So
yeah, I'm just thinking about what your penetration is.
A lot. One of the other open houses that we did earlier this month was a right-of-way open house. Specifically, we targeted all those who were going to be acquiring right-of-way from in the initial years of this project. We had about 80 people attend that one. And it was very targeted audience. We are going to be acquiring some land from you, mm-hmm. maybe a partial take, maybe your neighbor's home or something. So it was you specifically, or maybe your neighbor, just to let you know what's going on. So 80 people showed up at that one. That was very good for us to make that first contact, to let them know what the process is, how we are going to move forward, and let them, it was not intended to be a kind of a debate type meeting, anything like that. Just here's the process, here are the people, here are the faces. So that worked out well. Local advisory committee, those are basically monthly meetings where we update the local advisory committee members and what's happening. They're really our conduit back into the communities. They're the ones who we put them in charge of, hey, tell us who we need to talk to and what are the issues. The focus of this upcoming meeting is really on, it's really great, it's a partnership with CMAP on this one, and it's going to focus on economic development. CMAP has got a lot of work going on right now at the Village of Franklin Park on some new developments, industrial developments that they'd like to see in Franklin Park. But CMAP is also looking at regional economic development and manufacturing planning, so they're going to talk about some of their work to our LAC members, again, to push the word out. And lastly on there, there's some federal funding applications that have been out there, both CMAC and Tiger. CMAC, but right now it looks positive for that one. And another application went in yesterday for Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program dollars for the Elgin Air Corridor. 294-57, if you haven't been out there, that project is rolling along very well out there now. We were just talking about that prior to that. Coming in here, so a lot of construction going on. We do have another town hall meeting that's planned, another open house meeting down there on September 19th. Again, same type of intent, let people know what it is that we're doing, what work we've completed this year, and what we plan on doing next year. We've got a lot of newsletters and brochures that we're handing out there, again, to inform people of what's happening. Field office that we've had out there, that's been it's been worked out well for us. It's not just for this. It's our construction management crew is out there, but we do have staff assigned to go out there, so it's worked out well as a drop-in point for people to get information. And that's something that we'll be replicating for the Elgin Air Project as well. 53-120, I don't want to get into too much of that. We're going to be having a full discussion on that one, but we will have a Blue Ribbon Advisory Council meeting September 17th, and we continue to coordinate with CMAP.
Can we introduce Amy? And
yeah, I was just going to do that. Okay. So, specifically on the 53-120 project, Amy Lee was brought on board recently, and she is now the project manager for the 53 project. She'll be pretty much the day-to-day face on that one. Thank you, Amy. We actually took Amy from the RTA, so she's got a lot of experience with this area and people. And then Clarita Lau, who's going to also be helping out with the 53 project on the financing side.
Clarita works in engineering.
Clarita works in engineering.
And is an engineer, right?
So, what we really want to do today, as the director said, is focus on the 53 project. I'll just kick it off and then we'll hand it over to Amy to talk a little bit more about what we want to do. I don't know if I have to go into too much detail about this. It really was, Director Dotson would have gone into detail about the project. I think we all know about the BRAC, the 9-month process. They came up with some recommendations. I provided you a copy of the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council report for reference today if there's any questions about some things, but it's basically what the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council recommended is a 4-lane, 45-mile-per-hour toll parkway. We've got a couple different options along the 120 alignment. Really what we're looking at is a lot of environmental enhancements and design considerations that we're incorporating into our project that were derived from the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council members, depressed roadway, environmental performance measures, roadway performance measures, some environmental mitigation components that are part of the project. But the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council gave us some recommendations of how they would like to see the project move forward. An agreement was brought to the FAO committee earlier today for CMAP to do some of the land use work. That's kind of in tandem with us. What the land use work will help do is really define who's going to benefit from the project, look at the economic development components of it, and make sure that the land use is aligned with a 4-lane, 45-mile-per-hour parkway. Pretty much it on that. I want to try to get quick through this so we can really have some discussion. So the current status of the project, we've got our consultant under contract to conduct a feasibility analysis at Train Systems. We've got a couple member of Train Systems team back here. We're really starting to get off the ground now with the study. It's taken a lot of upfront work to make sure we get a full understanding of all the different team members with CMAP, with Lake County, with the different co-chairs of the project and TOLI. So we've got now more of a cohesive vision of where we want to be able to take this. So this round of the work that Train Systems is going to do is really going to focus on the technical and financial feasibility of the overall project. It's carrying forward with the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council recommendations. We're going to look at the cost estimates. We came up with some cost estimates previously. It was done pretty quick. We want to really, you know, roll up the sleeves and look at those and verify those. We want to look at the total revenue forecast. Again, it was done at a very high level for the last go round, so it's getting into more details there. But really, I think a lot of the work in this round is going to talk about the look at the financing options, and that's what we want to talk to you today, is get a sense of some of your issues and concerns. And then it's an 18-month process, and we're going to come back to this committee and the Tollway Board to really figure out what is it that we would like to do with the project. This is something that we want to take on as an agency to the next step. This is really just a pre-feasibility type of analysis that we're doing right now. And then, as I said, we're doing a lot of work with CMAP on the land use. I will actually hand it off to Amy if you want to talk about how we're going to approach this study now.
Sure. This visual will sort of help you better understand how we're organizing the work. As Rocco mentioned before, we are reconvening the BRAC. They will continue sort of in an advisory capacity. A lot of their work is complete, and so really they'll just be updated and monitoring the progress of our work. The bulk of the work will happen sort of in that orange area where we will be establishing two new committees, a finance committee, which will be led by the Tollway, and then a land use committee, which will be led by CMAP. What you see in between there is a core team of key staff between the Tollway, CMAP, and Lake County, where we'll be working on making sure that those two efforts are coordinated and well integrated. Ultimately, at the end of this all, we hope to advance then a recommendation to the board for the board to then make a determination as to whether or not this is a project that the Tollway moves forward. So again, the bulk of the work is going to happen for us at that finance committee level, and so that's really where we want to start having some discussion with you, Rocco, if you can. So it's very important for us on a project like this, where there's such divergent views on so many different issues, that we establish some guiding principles early on. That's very important for us. And that will really be critical for us in decision making and understanding whether or not the committee has done its job and has put forward a recommendation that is going to be acceptable to the board. So we wanted to start this discussion with you. Maybe a platform by which we can begin that discussion is the BRAC recommendation out of this report. There was a guiding principle that said that we should analyze potential funding options to the extent they are financially viable, fiscally sustainable, and equitable. And those are some heavy words. And so we wanted to begin some discussion on with you, the board members, what do you think is meant by financially viable, fiscally sustainable, and equitable? And we've posed some questions on the next slide to begin some of this dialogue with you. What is important to you, and what do we mean by those terms?
May I just ask a question? And I'll ask it two ways. Do you think that the BRAC was thinking of each of these principles confined to the 53-120 area, or do you think, and or, do you think we or they ought to be thinking about them in terms of the entire system?
I think we could try to answer this. I think where the advisory council was going, it wasn't necessarily confined to the 53 project. There was, you know, a broader goal. If you look at some of the financing recommendations, it did kind of look a little broader. We struggle with some of the words here. What does all this mean? When you look at the recommendations, though, it does try to say, well, let's make it let's not look at it as a standalone. And I think these are some of the discussion points that we need to look at from people. Is it a standalone project? Do we need to look at it as a self-financed project? How regional do you want to look? And I think that's what we may get out of the CMAP work as well, is who does benefit economically from a congestion standpoint.
Thanks.
So it kind of went both ways on that. It was generally vague, and it was intended to be vague like this. Christy, do you have any other thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I do think that this is something that it should be more, I think it's more as much about our board's expectation here as it is about the GRAC or even the finance committee's expectation, which is why we wanted to open up the discussion. You know, are we open to financially viable, fiscally sustainable, and equitable, thinking about those across the tollway system? Or are we looking for something that is a little bit more relative to this one project or even this one sub-geography of our overall geography? Because some of the ideas that were presented, I think, as potential financing ideas were increasing other tolls on the tollway system, but specifically those portions that are in Lake County, for instance. So, you know, that I think that there are even gradations between and within the across the tollway system.
And so what I tabbed out for you is basically, just as a kind of reminder, on page 65, one of the tabs, it talks about what those recommendations were that came from the group. This was something that came from the advisory council. Say, here's how we think this project can be funded. You can see the different sources of funding that they've identified. You know, the facility itself, looking at other tolls in Lake County, tolling an existing portion of 53, indexing and congestion pricing, phasing of the project, local sources, and then a lot of question marks after
that. When we say indexing and congestion pricing, we're talking about on the facility itself.
On the facility itself, right. That was just for that facility. So really, again, is the statement, is there any things that we need to be looking at? Financially viable, fiscally sustainable, equitable? Are there other considerations that we may have missed on that? And then kind of think about some of these other topics. Because so what, Alex, maybe we could explain the next steps we're going to do. We're going to pull together the finance committee. The finance committee is going to be, it's going to consist of members of municipalities, all municipalities along the entire corridor. There will be some other transportation advocacy and planning groups on the committee itself. But it's really going to be the mayoral and representation that's going to, we're going to be looking to them for some recommendations. So we'd like to go to that committee and say, here's what's important to our board, so they have an understanding of where they need to go and develop their own principles.
Well, I think it, you know, if we just take the quote that we have in front of us here, we talk about equitable. I think it's interesting because maybe you can share with us a couple of examples, but I think the design or the desired elements of this project coming from the BRAC were certainly somewhat unique in the history of the tollway, I think, as it relates to environmental considerations, obviously as it relates to the speed considerations. And I think, if I'm not wrong, they're looking for a tollway commitment for a lot of ongoing maintenance of, I don't know if you want to call it environmentally related systems or whatever, that go well beyond the typical, if I'm not wrong. So when we talk about equitable, I think that has to be looked at in terms of how is it equitable across the system, because it's got unusual and more expensive demands on the system than would be typical. So, and that takes me back a little bit to a couple of financial considerations. First of all, in my recollection, the Move Illinois budget had a certain level of dollars allocated, basically, I think, for design and possibly some engineering studies, this or that. How does that, you know, how do we anticipate this being paid for, period? And then secondly, because of the special demands that were made, the feasibility study report will be interesting, because I think it will tell us how much the system will bear in terms of providing revenue. The fact that it would be a limited speed limit might have a bearing on that as well. So I think that will provide some interesting information, but I think in the final analysis, we have a pretty unique situation with a fair amount of demands that have fiscal impacts. And, you know, how is it that those are going to be dealt with in an equitable way?
So we'll make sure that in the feasibility phase two, we'll kind of look at the, you know, what some of those considerations and special elements mean in terms of both revenue and cost. I mean, clearly that was something that we dealt with a little bit at this level, but it was really, I would never insult our engineering department by saying back of the envelope, but it was a very high level overview, I think. Very high level assessment, and so I think we can dig into it a little bit more on not only the cost side, but as you're making the point, it sounds like the revenue side as well. Because when you think about things like speed and usage, that obviously goes to revenue.
I think all of the enhancements that are unusual to the project need to be priced out.
Okay.
And I think with that, from a fairness issue, not making the rest of the system bear those unique elements to this project, when you take 355 or other recent developments that weren't done this way, I think it's got to be done in a fair and equitable way, and the only way to really do it is price that out, and then, you know, whether it's a unique toll system, toll pricing for that area that, you know, the community is willing to bear for those environmental, you know, changes, those enhancements, you know, you know, they should be aware that that would be the cost of these enhancements. Just purely out of fairness, I think that's what we're all saying.
Rockwell, in terms of ongoing maintenance type issues that we would be confronting in this case more so than in others, can you give us some examples of those? I mean, are we maintaining wetlands? Or
there's a few different things. So as part of this project, there's performance measures that were included in the recommendations from an environmental performance of the roadway, water quality enhancements, very stringent water quality protective measures. Basically, the water, when it leaves the system, has to be cleaner than when it enters the system. When it leaves the toll, the new roadway has got to be cleaner. So which you can imagine there's a challenge there. So it's basically the way it was suggested to handle that is through a treatment train. So you'd be treating the water at multiple points, from the point when it runs off the roadway to the point where it goes through the ditch, to the point where it continues down a bioswale, whatever it might be, to the point where it crosses into the out of the right-of-way into the waterway. So there's a very high standard there that we've never had to deal with before. To do that and to maintain it, to design it, fine. But to really make sure it continues to work, it'll take a higher level of maintenance. It'll take adapting the design over time to continually make sure and measuring it, the performance of it. That's one thing that we've never had to deal with before. Noise is a big concern. The performance measures on noise are basically the desires to maintain the existing noise level out there today. So what people are experiencing today, you know, projected out what it would be in the future if no road were there. How do you build a road, whether it be through berming or some form of berms and noise walls? Those are extremely difficult performance measures that we have to deal with. Other mitigation measures that we've typically haven't dealt with is there was a desire as part of this project to include a restoration and stewardship trust fund, basically setting dollars aside, and it was an $81 million set aside for restoration and trust for the environment. So if there is some form of harm to the environment that occurs that was unexpected, there is a pot of money that is available to repair some of those damages to the environment, to restore lands, whatever it may be. So those are things specifically that, from a kind of a both maintenance and capital side of things, or, you know, I don't know where the trust fits in, that we typically haven't had to face on our projects.
It would be beyond what we might be required to do legally.
Absolutely, right. You know, there's regulatory requirements that we would have to comply with from the Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, Department of Natural Resources. These would be things that